This is a Triple J podcast.
Hey, it's Dave Marchese. Welcome to the Shake Up on Hack. How good does it feel to be wrapping up this week? It's been a busy few days, news-wise, but also, I imagine, for everyone, it's just feeling a bit intense at the moment. We've spent the past 5 days unpacking some pretty intense stuff, and also last week on the Shake Up, we were getting into some really heavy topics. This time, we're going to get into some of the other headlines that have got people talking. Bit of a lighter one, this Shake Up, which we're always here for. Here's a bit of a taste of what's coming up.
Hack.
Mac Bank will not allow cash at any of its Australian branches.
This has probably been the third or fourth day in a row that my alarm clock has not gone off.
You are the winner of the $1 million.
On Triple J.
Yeah, we're talking cashless banks, cooked alarms, $1 million fishies, $1 million fish. Did you know this competition existed? If you're in the top end, you definitely did. Maybe in other parts of the country you didn't. What is the strangest competition you've ever won? Please message in 0439757555. We're getting into that one later. Does it all sound fun? Hopefully it does. You know what else is fun? Our shake-up crew for this week. Let's get to know them. First, content creator, journalist from the broadly relevant podcast, Simran Pasricha. Hey, Simran, welcome back.
Hi, how are you?
How are you feeling? Big week?
Big week, big week. Back in beautiful Melbourne, very cold, very depressed, but here.
You just got back from the Gold Coast, right?
I did, and it's quite a shock, honestly. I'm unwell.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to give a few days, give a few weeks to get reacclimatised to the Melbourne weather, but hey, glad to hear that you're back, you're into the grind. Also with us on the Shake Up this week, WA Premier from the Kick It Forward podcast, Josh Garlop. What's happening?
Oh, I don't want to be looped in with him. Come on. No. Good, mate. It's great. I've been to Melbourne this week. It's good to be back home, as Simran just spoke to.
Okay, so what have you been doing in Melbourne? Bit of work? Bit of this?
Yeah, footy season stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on over there right now. It feels like we ramp up during the footy season because we make comedy, but we do a lot of sport comedy stuff. So, yeah, we had some events on Monday.
That makes sense. Did I see recently you did some, like, 24-hour swim or something? What was that?
Yeah.
Did you actually swim for 24 hours?
It was a group. There were 12 of us and we took turns, and I'm not a very good swimmer.
I was trying to figure out how it worked. I was like, surely this is more than one person. I was like, Josh has got to be stuffed at the end of that.
I went for a swim at the Fitzroy Pools like 2 days ago, and it's first time since, and I could barely move my shoulders, so I just bailed pretty quick.
Poor guy. Hey, look, we've got so much to crack into. Let's do it. Remember, this conversation's for everyone. So dive in. Time to talk about a world without cash, eh?
Hack.
It's a bit like a pub with no beer, surely. A bank with no cash.
On Triple J.
Yeah, we know the world's more digital than ever, and chances are you're not using cash every day. That's what the statistics tell us. Some people even get by weeks, months without touching the stuff. But it still feels weird when you hear that if you want to use it, you can't. And that's what's happening later this month with an Australian bank saying, for them, the days of cash are over.
Hack. Cash is basically soon to be extinct.
It is a major blow to financial freedom.
People taking large loads of cash to the bank who are in danger of being mugged, that'll stop that.
Who pays with cash?
It's a principal thing, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
Travel. I know, it's so expensive.
But I swear you will never regret the money that you spent on a trip.
I work so hard all day that I need a small little pick-me-up.
We used to be the envy of the world for our banknotes.
There's a flood or a cyclone, all the terminals are down. I think this is very dangerous.
My mother told me that I could be anything, so I became financially irresponsible.
On Triple J.
Yeah, keen to hear from you on this one. Macquarie Bank going cashless. How does it make you feel? Welcome to the new cashless era. Are you loving that or dreading it? Call in 1300 055 536. You can message in too, 0439 757 555. Already hearing from people on the text line now. We're also talking Gen Z spending habits. We're going to get into that one soon. On Instagram, someone says, gross, cashless society, it's not the way to go. Someone else, just because I don't use cash doesn't mean I think we should be letting banks phase it out like that. Interesting. This is the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into it with content creators Josh Garlop and Simran Pasricha. Josh, are you a cash king?
I'm not. I can't stand it when you like lend someone money or you're chipping in for dinner and someone gives you cash, because it feels like you've already spent it. But I understand there is a huge population that deal in cash. The only reason I figure this out is we made a video about this joking about when someone gives you cash when they pay you back. And we were inundated by people, a segment of the internet saying, F you, stupid millennial, Gen Z, F-wit,
yeah.
Cash is king. You'll be complaining when the banks lock off your account.
Okay, this is the thing, right? Whenever you talk about this, you think, people might have an opinion one way or the other, but people are so passionate about it. Well, some people are, and right now the hotlines are lighting up. We've got the text line going off. People concerned about it. Simran, are you one of the people that's really passionate about cash?
Look, my dad's an accountant, so he would literally disown me if I didn't carry cash with me.
Really?
It's easier for sure without cash. Do I really use that cash? It sometimes feels like I'm using like free money, like I'm not spending anything because it's already out, you know,
yeah.
The number doesn't go down in my bank account. But look, for a lot of communities, that's what they rely on. That's exactly what they use, especially, you know, like migrant communities and marginalized communities, even people that are experiencing abuse. Like, they rely on cash to help them out of situations.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what we're hearing on the text line. Someone says, if you take away cash from society, what happens when all the computers go down as well? No FPOS and no tap and go, chaos and mayhem. I guess that is as well something to think about, as well as the groups that, really rely on cash. And as well, they're getting rid of banking services as well. They're winding those downs, moving a lot of stuff to online banking. Is that something that concerns you, Josh? Like, have you ever, when was the last time you reckon you were in a bank?
Actually, it's funny we're talking about this now. Bankwest and WA, sorry to say a brand, but they've actually got rid of all branches. Most of them they're shutting down because they want to do this disruptor style banking similar to ING. But it's weird because so many people in WA have this affinity with this brand that has like some sort of WA in it.
Yeah.
So I even went to the bank the other day because I accidentally transferred someone money. And it was the wrong person. I eventually got it back after a lot of stressful weeks yelling. But I didn't have anywhere to go. And I didn't want to have anywhere to go to. And they were really helpful on the phone online. But it was really frustrating not being able to just sort of walk in and confront the problem.
That's, yeah, so interesting.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah, you can just check it. Just quickly check before you transfer, Josh. It's not hard. Okay. Run over the numbers. No, I've done it before. It's horrible. The last time I think I was in a bank branch, I went into, because it must have been in a shopping center or something, and I thought, I've got to do this thing. I'll just go in quickly, ask a few questions. And as soon as I got in, they said, actually, you can do all this online. And they handed me a tablet and they refused to kind of serve me. They said, just use the tablet and do it online yourself. So look, they're definitely winding down services. It's got a lot of people pretty annoyed, especially in regional areas. I know that's a big thing. On the text line, Erica says, cashless totally screws sex workers over. Cash is viable money. Dave from Brisbane says, if I hear the term cash is king one more time, I'm going to scream. Times are changing. Move along with it, Dave says. And someone else says, how will kids learn decimal currency? I don't know. I don't know. They're all things to consider. Another thing is, I had a mate that was, I shouldn't laugh about this because it's actually a real thing, but they have a fear of coins. It's called cuprolaminophobia or something like that. Yeah, kind of the germs, but they've been really heavily pushing for a cashless society for a while now. If they're ever, getting coins back or whatever, they're like, just keep the change. So look, some people are stoked with this. What about the security thing, Simran? Is it something that you worry about? Because that's what we hear a lot about too, that people are uncomfortable with how much information they're giving out with their digital footprint.
Yeah, look, it is something that I've been concerned from. I'm with a digital bank right now as well. I've never been able to go into a bank for the bank that I'm with. It's with Up, not to mention a brand again, but yeah. I have been hacked before and that's really not ideal. I don't know. I don't think that we should be phasing out cash until we've sorted out all of these issues. Can't be so quickly done.
Josh, you worried about the security aspect of all this?
I completely understand what you were pointing to before, Simran, about if you're in an abusive situation and it can often be, cash can be one of the controlling factors, right? So for a lot of people, it's the only way out and things like that. So I understand this and the security side of it. Firsthand, I've experienced that it isn't all perfect in the digital realm for cash. So I'm okay with it rolling around for a bit longer, especially, I don't know, there's certain things that are pretty helpful if you've got cash. I know, Marketplace as well.
Yeah, Marketplace, people are bringing that up now. Some little eateries, restaurants, people are saying, oh, this one's only cash only, what am I going to do with that? But yeah, look, there's a lot of people with a lot of different uses for cash. Some are hitting the text line now, and I don't know anything about those things. So we're going to read some other texts. Someone says, during the bushfires of 1920 in Naruma, all lines were destroyed. I lent hundreds to different people for fuel. Solve that problem, then we can move forward. That's a good point in natural disasters when, you know, communications are down. Mel from Hobart says, as someone who was in Tassie when the cables connecting us to the mainland went down for a whole day, cash is so important. Michael from Collaroy says, Josh, you just highlighted why cash is king. You wouldn't have handed the wrong person cash. Cash is king.
Don't put it past me.
And someone else, Alexandra in Brisbane, says, as a Salvation Army store employee, cash is still in major use for us. Got so many messages coming through on this one. Keep sending them through. I did want to get into something else, though, that I saw floating around the financial story world this week. And it was this article on Fashion Journal. And it said, how Gen Z's nihilism, you know, the belief that life is meaningless, is changing their approach to money. So basically, with the world seemingly meaningless around them, we're seeing Gen Z spend beyond their means because they're compensating for the global chaos. They want the instant, you know, temporary thrills, serotonin boosts. Josh, can you relate to that?
Isn't that every generation reporting on the generation prior every for like the last 120 years? I always hate that crap. Like,
probably
it's like, oh, these damn kids with their phones and shit. Like, you know, they're probably making terrible decisions in their 20s, like everyone else did.
True. Simran, do you think this is a real thing? Like, speaking to friends, people around you, that they're like, oh, well, I'm not saving for anything. I'm just going to spend it and go big.
Yeah, look, my silly little treat is like the only thing keeping me sane right now, okay? Let me have my matcha latte and croissant, okay? Josh is right. This is not a new concept at all. I mean, if you're going through bad times, you're going to start spending more to feel good. And I think it's about creating, you know, little moments of joy within this, you know, intense uncertainty that we're all experiencing.
And I do think there are like people, like friends that I have who have said this, and I think, oh, you're just blaming the world for your bad saving. Like, I don't know. Josh, thoughts on that?
Well, there's no doubt that like buying a house is out of the grasp of the, like Gen Z people more than any other period of the same age demographic. So maybe there is a reality of saying, well, I can't buy a house, so I may as well go to Greece for 6 weeks or something, which is like, oh, well, I understand that. That could be something potentially. Or maybe the cost of living of saying, well, a pint is $15. It's not as if I'm going to not drink. So, yeah, of course, maybe there's a bit of more frivolous spending in that regard, but isn't that more because of the cost rather than the mentality?
Hey, good point. We've still got so many people messaging in about a cashless society. Someone says, no more two up at the RSL. Another person says, the fees you pay for the privilege of technology is convincing me to use cash far more. I'm a banker and can say we see everything. Another person says, what about Mother's Day stalls and school canteens? That's true. All these like little things maybe you don't think of. And another person says, Gen Z don't want cash because they can't count. What?
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Someone else says getting rid of cash would destroy tourism. People come over with cash. It's kind of surprising all the time when you go overseas as well, isn't it? When you're used to tapping for everything and then you'll visit another country maybe, you'll go on a holiday and you realise, oh, no, cash is still super popular in other parts of the world. Like it can get to a point where you can go months without seeing cash, Simran.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like Australia is very unique in that sense that, you know, we are very contactless payments and everything. I was, you know, just traveling in like India, like going to go visit family, and, you know, contactless is not like so much a thing as like where I was like visiting. So, you know, it is kind of crazy in that way. But I think, look, accountant dad, okay? I can't say that I love cash, okay, everyone?
She loves cash. Someone on the text line says, we have some of the most inconsistent and worst internet and phone services in the developed world. Need to address that before we can consider a cashless society. Someone else says, joke's on you, Dave. I freely admit I am a bad saver. I'm about to buy a PS5 YOLO.
No, it's an investment.
Every day
that I've set an alarm, I've slept through it. And I was like, what is going on? Are they just not going off? No, they're not.
On Triple J.
How many alarms do you set to get up in the morning? 2, 3? What's your system? 5 minutes apart, half an hour apart? What works? Do you put your phone away from your bed in another room so you got to get up and turn it off? Well, maybe none of that even works if you're an Apple user, because the tech giant is furiously trying to figure out why some iPhone alarms are not working. It's got people around the world feeling frustrated, but well rested.
Hack. No, what's been going on with the Apple alarm clocks lately?
I've noticed for the past week or so, my alarm just wasn't waking me up.
Apparently, if you set an alarm, a lot of people are having problems where it just doesn't go off.
There's actually a glitch in the iPhone alarm system.
Apple says it is aware of an issue causing some iPhone alarms to not play the expected sound.
Apple just came out and said they're working to fix it.
I just found out there are people that don't use the snooze button. Could you imagine?
Do you snooze or are you up straight away?
No, I'm up straight
away. Of course you are.
On Triple J.
Yeah, Apple, what is going on? This is one of the top features of the phone. The alarm, it needs to work. If this has impacted you, I want you to tell me what happened. If you're suspicious that maybe your alarm's not working, you've been sleeping in a lot, but also I want to know, what's your best alarm hack? Like, what do you do to make sure you do wake up in the morning? Or do you have a partner that's got an alarm habit that's really annoying, really pisses you off? We're diving deep on this one. Call in 1300 055 536. You can message in too, 0439 757 555. It's the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, breaking it down with broadly relevant podcast hosts Simran Pasricha and Josh Garlett from the Kick It Forward podcast. Simran, are you an iPhone user?
I sure am.
Impacted loyal by this?
No, I haven't been. And thank God, because that is my worst nightmare ever, I think. I will not get up otherwise without my 75 alarms. And that's not an understatement.
Okay, so you really set a whole heap. Before you go to sleep, there's like 50 ready to go?
Yeah, it's like 6:30, 6:34, 6:38. Like, no, I am the worst housemate.
Okay, and I get the first one. You're like, that's never going to happen. But we just set it for the, you know, to feel good. You're like, 6 o'clock? Okay. Okay, we'll set that one.
Yeah.
Josh, what about you?
I set one, but I will say...
Just one?
I set one.
What the hell?
Well, it's just a test every day. It's like Goggins-esque. I just run through the gauntlet every morning. No, I will say, when I hear a radar alarm, I think it's what the main one is on iPhone,
yeah,
at about 2 p.m.,
oh,
I just want to punch that person in the face so hard, because that is a social faux pas nowadays. It's this one thing, there must be so many hormones attached to that noise as a response, and then you hear someone who's like, oh, I've got to have lunch. And there's honestly nothing worse than hearing that during your day-to-day life.
It's kind of weird the things people set alarms for. Like, I hadn't even really thought about that, but they do go off at random points. Like, what's that alarm for? But anyway, like, it could be anything. Who knows? Someone on the text line says, my alarm sound totally changed and it was the most disturbing wake up of my life. Another person says, my border collie, Jetson, is a pretty good alarm. 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m. Someone else, Harry and Nam, says, my alarm requires me to solve a math problem to turn it off, but unfortunately now I'm great at sleepy maths. What? Harry? No. How does that work? Oh, I can't even think about that. And someone else says, I don't have an alarm. I just wake up. Now that is something I've always been convinced that I'll be able to teach myself. And I did go through a phase of trying it, but it didn't work. But Josh, you seem to be able to kind of do it. You set one alarm and then you're up. Like, you're not snoozing or doing anything like that.
I'm conscious people have like different sleeping habits and struggle with sleep often,
sure,
but like I've never had an issue waking up from one alarm. But I reckon the worst thing in the world is, besides what I said before, is you know, you've got a 5 a.m. flight or 6 a.m. flight and you wake up bang on just before the alarm.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
Yeah.
No, I've been all right for a while, but it would be insane to to wake up at 10 after a 7 a.m. alarm that was due or something like that.
Yeah, it always happens when the times when you need the most sleep, where it's like, I've got, only got a few hours, I need a heap of sleep, and then you're so anxious that you're not sleeping because you're worried you're going to sleep through the alarm. I actually, okay, so this is a pretty unprofessional story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. The other week, I had a TV cross, like I had to go on TV at 7:30 in the morning, and it was a Saturday morning, which is already like, it's a bit hard, right? And I woke up and it was 9:30 and I had like 18 missed calls on my phone. I had all these emails from the bosses being like, where are you? And I thought about it. I was like, what excuse am I going to come up with? And then I thought, I've just got to say, like, I slept through. But I've been trying to figure out why I slept through. And then I saw this story and now I'm convinced it's the iPhone alarm. But even if it's not, I can just blame that now. I think this is a great excuse for everyone.
Apple sabotaging you, honestly.
Yeah, what's going on? What's going on? What about other things? Like, have you guys ever used some of the like sun lamp things that they've got that are supposed to wake you up quite naturally? Simran, have you ever tried that?
The thing is, I'm insane, right? So sleep with my like with my curtains open. And so like the sun is like supposed to wake me up, but it doesn't. So I've tried like the you know, the slow like sun light in the room thing, but it doesn't work because I already sleep with my curtains open and I still won't wake up. So it's just, it doesn't work for me. And the only thing that works for me is, again, 75 alarms. And my housemates knew this going into it. And I'm so sorry for them. Hey. We get it. Josh is better than all of us, okay?
Yeah, Josh is good. Not.
My normal routine is, you know, generally waking up then scrolling for 45 minutes on like 10-second clips and then realizing I've wasted the first part of the day. So I'm nothing.
Yeah, they say that's, I mean, I do it too. I'm like checking news headlines and things. I'm like, why am I doing this? Just start in a normal way. What about like partner Josh, like in terms of waking you up with alarms or like, is that an issue or not really?
It's fine. It's definitely, she definitely gets a bit upset if I do it the other way around. but no, it's
okay.
Part of it. It happens all the time. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's go to someone who's called in. Abdul's on the line. Abdul, what's your situation? Have you slept through an alarm recently?
So you guys are talking about the iPhone debacle.
Yeah. Were you affected?
My phone alarm didn't go off for like 2 days straight.
What?
Yeah. And now also I only trust my old Android from 2018, just for alarms only. That's its whole purpose in life now, just to be my old.
Great. I mean, great publicity for Android. They're loving this at the moment. That's crazy. So what happened? Did you miss any big appointments?
I missed the whole day of uni. And
I
was supposed to wake up at like 10 o'clock. And then I woke up at 1 o'clock and I'm like, shit.
Oh, my God.
A whole day of uni.
Yeah, and 2 days in a row. I thought it would fix up the next day because I'm like, okay, maybe I slept too deep. And then the next day, the same thing. And then I looked at my phone at 1 o'clock and it's like, oh, alarm ringing.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought too. Abdul, hey, well, you got a great excuse now, even if you did sleep through or you didn't set your alarm properly. At least you can use that as an excuse. A lot of people on the text line saying, get a cat, guaranteed to wake you all the time at first light. Cat wakes up well before my alarm. Someone else says, I set an alarm for 6:45 and snooze it repeatedly until 8 a.m. and end up late every day. That's a lot. Come on, that's a lot of snoozing. Someone else says, I may have missed a few alarms, but I can never be sure if there was a bug or if I simply learned to hit snooze on the Apple Watch without actually waking up. And then people saying to me, I thought you were from the country, Dave. Why are you sleeping in? I thought you were a country boy. I am a country boy, but I've left that part of my life behind me momentarily and now I'm enjoying a bit of sleep, all right?
Hack. We weren't actually expecting a tag bar at the time until a little sister actually asked what it was in the fish and yeah, we were freaking out. We nearly crashed the boat.
On Triple J.
How good is catching a big fish? And how much better is it when your big barra's got a big million attached to it? That's what happened to Keegan Payne from Catherine in the Top End. 19 years old, now a millionaire, after winning the NT's annual $1 million fish competition. This has to be best story of the week, favourite story, so we had to end on this one. Competitions are great, but they can also be rogue. Like, maybe you've never heard of this fish competition. I want to know, what's the weirdest competition you've won? call in 1300 055 36. You can message in too, 0439 757 555. A lot of people on the text line. Someone says, I want a $20,000 trip to Singapore for my family by asking my pop to go to work for a week with a local radio station. What? Sure, if it worked, worth it. Someone else says, the weirdest competition I've ever won, my local tavern used to do an annual yabby race and I won $172. Brilliant. Triple J producer Michaela once won a year's supply of chips. That's another interesting one I heard earlier. Good one. This is the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into it with content creators Josh Gallup and Simran Pazricha. Josh, ever caught $1 million fish?
I never caught $1 million fish. I love that story. It was so good seeing the young guy, and said his first purchase was going to be a new boat, as well as helping out his family, obviously. We actually have a really bad one in our family. Well, not okay, it's not that bad. But when I was 10, my mum put in a raffle at a basketball stadium. Now, we're like a basketball family. My brother played 12 years pro, and he married a professional basketballer as well. Wow. I was crap, but I love basketball.
You're tall enough, though.
Tall enough, yeah. And we were at this stadium one time. She bought a raffle ticket, and she won a frame signed, like very specific Kobe Bryant jersey. And for 20 years or 15 years, she said, I'm going to eBay it.
No.
And, you know, she had these two sons that love basketball. And then about 2 years ago, she had her kitchen done up, for, you know, like a small renovation. And my brother was always checking in, hey, where's the Kobe jersey? Because Kobe had passed away. And she randomly brought up that she'd given it away to the nice builder because he was so nice.
And she didn't realize
he was dead. And my brother and I have been trying to get the builder's name for like 2 years. Because we want it.
What are you going to say to him 2 years later?
Well, we've been trying. I've been trying to say to her, like multiple times I've said to her, oh, my friend's doing a renovation. You did a really good kitchen. Do you mind if they get the name? She's like, Josh, I'm not talking about this anymore.
No, but I want to know what you want to say to the trader. You're going to say, hey, I want it back now.
Yeah. I want it back, yeah. I want to see. Well, it was a big, like, brother is just screaming at me about it. Yeah, but anyway.
Well, you know what? We may be able to help you here because Hack reporter Susanna actually won a signed poster of the former Australian men's professional basketball team, the Gold Coast Blaze. So I don't know.
Tom was on that team.
Oh, wow. You've got your own version of it. It's probably his signature.
Can't wait.
So we can, maybe Susanna can do some sort of deal with you and send that through. Simran, wow, that was a hectic story from Josh, but are you big into competitions? You're a pretty lucky person.
Oh, I don't know if I'd say I'm a lucky person, but I do remember this competition at O Week, like one of our orientation weeks during uni.
Mm.
And it was like you get to go into this little tube and, you know, like when the money all like flies up and you have to like catch all those notes. Right. So it was like for some sort of like budgeting app, maybe. I don't really remember. But you'd have to catch like as many like notes as you could. And I caught like $150 worth, right? Super excited. Like, I was like, okay, so I am better than everyone. And, you know, this is my claim to fame. I come out and you don't even get the money. You get a $20 voucher.
Are you kidding? What?
Yeah.
Nah.
I was like, I showed all of my skills for what exactly?
That's not acceptable. Look, I went through a stage of kind of trying to enter everything I could, and I did. Like, all the ones that are like ask you to do stuff, I was like, no one's going to enter those, so I'll do it. Like, write an essay on this or whatever. I've won nothing. I've never won anything. Like, even trying to pick up a Triple J, you know, hat around here is pretty hard at the best of times. So, look.
Get Dave a hat.
Let's make that a movement. Yeah, it was funny. Keegan, who won this $1 million fish competition, we tried to get him on Hack earlier this week, but his mates were like, he's, you know, done so much media this week and he wants to go fishing again. So he's out fishing. That's where he is at the moment. And I thought, you know what? It's probably the best thing to do. Out there relaxing, getting the new boat. Huge story. Amazing, amazing good news to end the week on. And a big thanks to the Shake Up crew for another huge week. Josh Scarlett from the Kick It Forward podcast, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And also host of the Broadly Relevant podcast, Simran Pazricha, thank you as well for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hack on Triple J.
And that is all we've got time for on the Shake Up for now and that hack for this week. I'll be back after the weekend. I'll catch you then. See ya.